All right, so we could get this or not. We have to look at the screen there.
Oh, okay.
So.
So do we sit here around
yeah,
the table?
Yeah, sit down. It's down here in turn.
Yeah.
I sit down here so I can read my
okay.
Hello, Mr. Cropley.
How you doing?
Good. How's everything?
Not too bad.
Good.
Yeah. Hi, Jim.
How you doing?
I'm yes. Crockett. This is Diane DeNuzio.
Hi, Jim Cropley. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Yes.
And Jim is your guy for quite a few years. He's a vice chair.
Okay.
And we were talking, and I asked Tom if he would be the chairman again, unless you like to do it.
No.
Okay. Do you want to stay here, Tom, or were you sitting?
Actually, you know what I didn't do?
For 3 minutes.
I read everything.
We're the four regulars, and I think Rod is the regular, but Rod's going to have to decide because he's first selectman. So he has to appoint somebody to fill his position. So,
is he as an alternate or a?
No, well, he took over for Steve Clark took over for his daughter, right? Rod got elected, and then here's what. Rod got elected, and then Brittany Clark moved.
Right.
And then she had a 4-year term. And Rod took Brittany's spot, and Steve Clark took Rod's spot as an alternate. So that's how that was. That's that first. So.
No, right.
Rod's going to have, he's planning on coming tonight, but that's.
Rodney is.
Yeah.
I think we pick up.
21st.
When did they take over?
It's like sometime between now and when December meeting.
I stopped in town hall because I have to be the only one on the internet that checks all these old Vatican results. And I couldn't find them.
So I didn't know what happened to my son called me from Boston.
You're in.
So he takes over. He can't be here.
Well, that was the same thing with Adam. Adam got elected to be a selectman and he had to resign his post.
I found him on the Hartford Current for what this was.
Oh, we have to get sworn in.
Even if you're incumbent, you have to get sworn in again? Yeah.
Diane, you're going to have to get sworn in and take the oath.
Okay.
That you do the best and everything else.
Tonight?
No, not tonight.
No, it's town clerk.
Town clerk, yeah, you go to town clerk.
I thought I did that when I applied for it.
No, then once you get elected, that's for them to put you on the ballot, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know all the.
Okay.
Yeah, so. Okay. And that is, you're full time, so you'll be, if you're here, you'll be voting.
Yeah.
And yeah. If
so
you miss a meeting,
her,
you can get a copy.
Who'd we lose? Who'd we get? She's new.
Rodney.
We'll leave.
Just say that I watched it.
Okay.
I don't know. I haven't seen the results.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah.
How many positions were open?
How many?
Yeah.
Four.
Four.
Arlene got reelected and your wife's on, right?
Did she?
Yes.
Oh, you know.
I saw.
Yeah, I did.
2 minutes.
What? You know.
I saw 2 minutes.
Hey, Arlene.
I wondered.
Yeah. Yes. Arlene.
Did Marilyn get elected?
Yes.
I sent you a message.
Oh.
Yes.
I sent you an email earlier. Yes, Marilyn made it.
Good.
She got 704.
Good.
And Arlene did real well. She got a lot of votes.
Tom, you and I were separated by 4 votes. They had to hand count us.
Oh, they hand count still? How the heck did they do that?
They do only recount when it's under a certain number.
Yeah, like 1%.
Howdy, folks.
Hi.
Oh, Jeremy.
Hey there, Jeremy.
How are you doing?
Not too bad.
Diane.
What's that?
You know Diane did this here?
I met you once before.
A couple years ago, Jeremy Flick. Nice
hi,
to meet you.
Hi, Diane DiNunzio.
You're this is Jeremy's last meeting for a while, right?
Nice. I got a career term.
Yeah, I don't know who's on first, who's on second.
I don't either.
I'll figure it out. You see the results?
Yeah.
You see the results? Yeah. Rod Summers with me, so.
How are we doing? Good. Shutting down for the season?
Not until Christmas.
Until Christmas. It's around the corner. You blink, it's going to be gone.
I hope so.
Christmas is your favorite season, Jim.
Yes, you know that for a fact, don't you, Arlene? Yeah. Well, the only good thing is we decided we're not plowing snow this year. So this is the first year in 42 years that we haven't plowed snow. So I'm pretty excited.
Wow.
It's always nice when you can stay inside and just watch it fall.
Yep. I have a house in Vermont, and every time it snows up there, my family says how beautiful it is, and I'm here waiting for it to snow here. So that's enough.
All you gotta have is one accident with the blade, and just all the snow and comes gone from hitting the truck, right?
Yeah, we've been, well, we're done, so we've been very lucky. We've had two lawsuits, both which we won.
Okay.
Actually 42 years that we've done snow.
It's a good run.
Yeah. Yep.
Can I see that?
Just see.
Well, you can scroll down to the other.
So there was four openings on the planning and zoning?
Oh, I thought Jerry was done. Okay, no.
No.
Yeah. You, me, and who were the two? You,
Diane. You, I don't know.
Stella.
Yeah, we lost Jeff.
So Quan's the ultimate.
And we lost Quan.
Who's your ultimate? You have an ultimate, don't you?
There's me and Jim, and Marilee must be the alternate.
I got the ballot, and I'm like, are you kidding me? This is
a lot of bubbles.
Two pages. It's like, what's going on here?
Yeah, I wondered if people would flip it over.
They kept telling you to flip it over.
I know.
Actually, Jim was a high vote getter.
I don't know how many people that I know. I went to the elementary school and so I decided to go to St. Morris. I looked at it this morning.
There was a guy in line in front of me.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to remove him. He was screaming.
Really?
I guess he came here first. Wasn't here. Went to the school. Wasn't there. Went to the churches there. I don't know. And then it's zone one and zone two.
Yes.
District one or district, whatever they called it.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
So. In all fairness, there's a big sign right in the center of the town that says St. Marie's Church, and then the fire department said St. Marie's Church too.
Yeah.
Well, we live on all the other signs everywhere.
We're on the other side of town.
Wow, this is true. Yeah. People on the other side.
We're in the hood.
Yeah. Us hood people don't have those signs. I knew where it was, but just I was a little confused. And they said, what zone are you in? I have no clue.
They had it on the door.
Yeah.
So that was.
So I ran out and checked.
Yeah, they pointed to the table and went, look for it on the map. I said, okay.
Well, he's right on the door. All the street addresses for one and two. So before you went in,
I was looking at my watch.
Okay.
Do we have our clerk? Or does she just take minutes from the owl?
She's usually here, but we can give her the recording if she doesn't make it on.
Where's Patrice?
I'm not exactly sure where she is, but she's away. I know that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you're still in there, Patrice is assembling in.
Oh, she's not. She's not going to be here. Not. No.
Do we have enough people?
Oh, yeah, we have a quorum.
Okay.
All right, then I'm going to call the meeting to order at 7:33. And I'm going to appoint Tom Crockett for Rodney Fournier. And that gives us 6. 6 who are here. Approval of the minutes of September 13th, 2023.
Move to accept the minutes.
Motion, Tom Crockett.
I'll second.
Second, Arlene. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I abstain.
So we have 5-0-1. Okay, appointment of zoning enforcement officer, Rich McKinnon. Welcome, Rich.
Thank you. I'm sorry I can't get my video working. I will try to get it freed up in my settings, but thank you.
So do you want to tell us about your background, anything about you?
Yes, so I've been a building official for almost 6 years now. And I've been working side by side with zoning enforcement the whole time. And one of my job conditions when I came here was to become the deputy zoning officer and help the zoning officer because I'm boots on the ground for everything that's seen around town and to assist and help enforce everything that needs to be enforced.
And have you gotten any action yet?
No, well, we're always communicating just for everything that it's been seen because Mike only works a few hours a week. So whenever there's a call that comes in, I'm the one who takes a quick look and relays all the information to him.
Thank you.
Welcome aboard.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Next up is residence form. I see one resident.
So I just want to interrupt. You have sure. to actually make a motion to appoint him just so that
we're
official. That officially authorizes him to enforce the regulations on your behalf.
Okay. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we nominate Rick McKenna as zoning enforcement officer for the town of Oak.
Is there a second?
A second.
Second. Motion, Jim Crockley. Second, Tom Robbins. I'm going to call the roll, Arlene.
Aye.
Tom Crockett.
Aye.
Jeremy Flick.
Aye.
Jim Crockley.
Aye.
Tom Robbins.
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. Six eyes, zero nose. And six is here. Okay. Residence Forum, I see Diane D'Annunzio. Do you have anything that you'd like to say?
I'm very happy to be here and hope to serve as best in my ability that I can, and just looking forward to working with everyone, and just I'm very excited to be a part of this commission.
Welcome.
And just for the record, your address? Welcome.
It's 2 Wall Street. Simple.
Thank you. Okay, staff reports. Public Act 22-25, electrical vehicle charging stations.
So I know Patrice gave you the whole length, the whole act. And do you want me to give you the thumbnail version or?
Let's have a thumbnail version, and then if we want to get into the weeds, we can.
Okay. So when this act was passed, there were a number of things that were included within it, but one of which that applies to us pertains to EV charging. So essentially, and I'm going to pull up the language because I don't want to misquote it, but if you have commercial and multifamily projects, I believe it's in excess of, hold on, should have had it pulled up already. There we go. So as of January 1, municipalities shall require that each new construction of commercial building or multi-tenant residential building with 30 or more designated parking spaces provides this infrastructure. Its focus is to make sure that when the sort of the demand for EV electric vehicles increases, you don't end up with these new projects ripping up their parking lots to install conduits and trying to make sure that users and visitors and tenants and accessible parking spaces, you know, trying to deal with that after the fact. So I think that was really the intent. The key with the language is that it requires that level 2 charging infrastructure be installed. So there is not a requirement that these folks install the chargers. Those are, you know, still pretty expensive. But the requirement through the act is just that they essentially put the conduit in the ground so that if they find the demand is there down the road, they can just drop the chargers in and the hard part's done. So this is something that we have to require. There's not necessarily an obligation that the regulations be amended, though most towns are amending them only so that folks don't get to the last step and ask for a building permit and find that they need to do this. Though my understanding is it's not that big a deal. Some PVC pipe and the wire in the ground typically can get it done. essentially any project that meets this criteria that obtains a building permit after January 1st has to provide this capability.
So Mike, I have a question. I was trying to read that and understand it. So if I built a building that had 30 units, I would have to install how many?
So it's 30 parking spaces, and it's 10%, 10% of the spaces provided.
So 3. So I'd have to install 3.
Correct.
And then, so when that comes down, so how do you select? If you have 30 parking spaces and 3 are chargeable, what if there's 15 cars in the parking lot that want to charge? How is that?
And they have to wait.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. There are some implications. So, I mean, yeah, from a site flow perspective, I think it's, you know, thinking about where you want these to go so that you're not running conduit all over the parking lot. It's easier to do that up front. But also in discussing with the building officials, they will be required, it sounds like, to make sure that at least one of those spaces is ADA accessible. So when you're designing those requirements or those spaces, it's just much easier to do particularly from an accessibility standpoint, when you're designing the site on paper than when you've got, you know, trucks running around a parking lot.
And do they have to go anywhere special in the parking lot?
So I think one of them will have to be nearest to the accessible space, so that those folks that have, because if you have someone who has an electric vehicle and they need to charge and they're disabled, they need an ADA space to be able to get in and out of their vehicle. So I think one of those spaces will need to be allocated next
to the front of the building.
Right. Yep. So you put the charger right in between an ADA space and a traditional space, and the cord, the connection, whatever you want to call it, will, you know, can swing to either side. And then but other than that, there's no obligation for them to put them in any specific place.
Yeah.
And who pays for the charge?
So there, if you obtain them through grants, and depending on how you get them, the agreements are all different, and they'll tell you based upon who you get it from, how much you pay for it. They'll tell you how much you can charge the person. It's kind of a moving target from my understanding. There are some towns that have them, and they've been able to get them with grants so that charging is free for, you know, a year or 2 years or something like that. But if you're going to a private site, you're likely swiping your credit card.
Is this just running the conduit only?
Yes.
So that would have to be part of the site plan if we have something that's that big that shows it's one is at least close to the entrance and the others.
Yep. They would just show probably on their utility plan or their site layout plan, you know, they would designate EV capable space. And then it's a little bit vague as far as the applicability and exact, it just says a municipality shall. So there's going to be a little bit of coordination that's going to be required, because the building department is going to ultimately have to make sure that these things are in. We're not doing the electrical inspections when they're doing all those components of the site. So this will get handed off, and they'll have to verify that these capabilities exist.
So if we did change our regs, we'd probably put them in the parking requirements.
Yep. It depends, I guess, on how excited you are about it. There are some towns that have sort of looked at it and said, well, you know, some of these things meet our definition of structure. And in a lot of cases, if we want to encourage these things to be installed, you know, we might run into situations where they're going to be close to the property line or in a setback. So they'll call them accessory structure. They'll do something specific to make it clear that they can be installed. If you have an existing parking lot, there might be some issues where if they go to put them in and they're considered a structure, that it would create a problem. So it depends on how proactive you want to be.
So I have another question. So if we have a situation where we have say Georgina's, and I'm just using that because he's probably one that has 30 parking spaces. If he goes to do any renovation there or change anything, will he have to upgrade to that?
No.
No. Okay. So, like the vet office, if they ever build that, would they have to, seeing they've already had an approval, will they have to comply with that?
Yes.
I think the building permit triggers it. And if you're pre-existing, you're all set. Let's maybe knock down the whole building.
Interesting. Anyways.
Any other questions on this issue? Mike, was there anything else in any of your other activities that you wanted to talk about?
Nothing notable. We have some. I see lower on the agenda. She's got the sub and zoning regulation updates, which is probably the only other sort of substantive thing. Yeah. Okay.
Anyone have any old business? No? New business. Well, I don't think we're going to make a decision. I think we have to make the decision about meeting dates at the December meeting.
Yeah, because I think there'll be new people here, right?
Yeah, yeah. Is there any... We've been meeting on the second Wednesday. Is there any problem with the second Wednesday? Are there any second Wednesdays that you know about that are a problem with
this? No, I looked at the calendar that she sent, the draft, and I didn't see...
Wasn't anything altered.
Yeah, I didn't.
Okay.
You know, unless we decide that we're going to have more holidays.
So do we need a motion to set the calendar for the second Wednesday of every month?
Well, we're going to set the calendar. We're going to do that, and it has to be done in the December meeting.
Okay. All right.
I just thought if there was anything that needed to come up now, if there's anything that needed to come up now, then we take it up now. But if we don't, we can just go on. Okay. Now we can talk about the status of the subdivision, zoning and subdivision regulations.
So I think Patrice had updated at either the October meeting or September meeting that the town has been in the process of going through a codification update to have all the ordinances and regulations updated and put in a single index. So because of that, and I think we're still probably a month or so out, we haven't started basically putting together any edits because all the section numbers are going to change. So it would be nearly impossible to try to put together a red line or for people to follow along if in the middle of that process, all the section numbers change and all the references would be incorrect. So we've been kind of going through and having those discussions internally to get a sense of what we might be thinking about, but we haven't done any pen to paper stuff because we really need to wait for that reg set of regs to be provided. And okay. I think just to give you one, and I can't remember if we've already talked about this, just stop me, but I think that our thought is that the initial plan would be as a step one to provide sort of a suggested organization. I think we talked about like an organizational layout, looking at the way the document overall is organized and identifying how we can readjust that order to make the make it flow. So we would probably present like a proposed outline to you to just show we want to move this section up or combine these or whatever, and then from there we can start going through it. But I think there's some updates we can make to, I don't know, maybe it's just me, I find myself going through, you know, this section, and then I skip 20 pages and I go to this section, I skip 30 pages, I go to another section, and it's not necessarily cohesive, and sometimes I think it's hard to feel like you've read everything that pertains to what you're interested in. So we want to try to fix that.
Yeah, we had talked about that earlier in one of the meetings, that there was some other towns that had it kind of set up really nice and organized versus ours.
And now I thought about raising this issue of our homework, but I understand that that's also going to be in a new format. the table of permitted uses and zones, in which get site plan approval and which require special permits and so on.
Yeah, so that table was created in-house. So even though the section numbers might change, the content within that table won't. So if you want to provide feedback on that and people want to begin looking at that or provide additional comments, you know, that's sort of an appendix. It's something that we have for reference, but that we can certainly look at.
Can we go over them?
Well, only so far, only two people have commented on it, and neither of them are here.
Okay.
I think with the two new members coming on board, plus a new alternate, maybe we should just start this over again fresh next meeting. I mean, Diane will be here.
Yeah.
I think that's
a good idea. So
I mean, we don't want to get too far ahead of them.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, it's 30 days.
Well, and that's just a checklist, right, Mike? I mean, those can be added in at any time. Once you get the book or the regulations in order, we can make those corrections as we go through, right?
Yeah, the table is just a summary of taking all the uses and putting it onto a single piece of paper. So, any changes to that will inform the regs as we go through those sections, if we add uses or we subtract uses.
Right.
So it's like, summary appendix.
Diane, for your benefit, the zoning regulations are a little bit hard to work with. And so as part of this process of codification, we're planning to simplify them also to make it easier for someone who wants to undertake a project to use and know what it is they have to do. You know, before they even talk to staff, because the idea is that someone would read up on, what property they have, where it is, what zoning district it's in, what the permitted uses are in that zone. And, you know, maybe they have to look for a different piece of property someplace else if it's just not permitted in that zone. And then once they had some of this basic information, they'd sit down with staff and they'd fill out, you know, you have to have this, you have to have that. Because there's some things, we have this, you know, pages long application form. And sometimes it just doesn't, the information it's requesting just doesn't apply to whatever it is they want to do. So the staff goes through that with them and comes up with an application form.
Okay, so you're going to try to make it more organized and simple, kind of user-friendly?
Yeah.
Streamline it a little bit.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Sometimes you end up going round in circles.
Thank you for clarifying.
Was there any correspondence? I don't see anything on the list.
At the bottom of the packet, you have the Connecticut Federation, I think, of Planning and Zoning, I don't know, agencies, is it? They have like their quarterly newsletter.
Okay. We should look at that.
Yeah, it's after the 40 pages.
It's at the very end. I went through it all.
It's like wait 44 a minute,
pages.
It's
at the bottom.
Oh, yeah, that's that public act.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why we have staff to go through it and say, this is the stuff you have to have, and then you put the right words in the
ranks.
The quarterly newsletter, I mean, it actually had two interesting cases that I think are worth looking through. One about a commission not being obligated to accept an expert's opinion regarding traffic. And the other one doesn't necessarily pertain here, but it was a WPCA that denied the extension of a sewer line for an affordable housing development. And they appealed it, you know, under the grounds of it's an affordable housing development. You don't have the authority to deny it. And it was overturned or upheld. Sorry, it was upheld. So kind of interesting.
So, you know, the one with the traffic study, how would we disagree with what is given to us?
So it's based upon the way that I understand it, or the way that I think about it, is that you may not be a traffic expert, but it doesn't mean that you have no understanding of a specific intersection or the specific function of a road, or how traffic may back up at a certain time of day, or how a site might function. So it sort of toes the line a little bit. I think that the easiest way that, or how it had been explained previously, is sort of if a traffic engineer comes in, gives you a traffic study and says it is likely to have no adverse impact to, you know, traffic or to the function of intersections, you're sort of obligated to say, oh, okay, thanks for telling us, and move on. And so I think this just goes a little bit farther and basically confirms that the commission can rely on your personal knowledge related to traffic safety and congestion, et cetera, when making statements about concerns that you have. And if you have concerns about not wanting a left turn, let's say, and they can't, you know, make a modification to the site to make this work, or they can't ameliorate those concerns in any way, you're not obligated to say, oh, okay, well, you know, I guess we'll just take that off the table since you have a traffic engineer that says it's not going to be a problem. So as long as your concerns are logical and not just biased, right, and they're rooted in a basic understanding of the town in which you live and the roads that are within it, there is actually some latitude for the commission to, you know, make decisions based upon those concerns.
Right. Yeah. Didn't we already do that once? Because when they were with the mobile station, when they were thinking of doing a Dunkin' Donuts in there, I believe they were saying that they could fit 13 cars, and we were concerned about that corner. Mm-hmm. And we pretty much said that we didn't think that would work. And I mean, they never built it, but we kind of already do that, don't we?
I'm not sure of that, but I think this was more like traffic on the roadway. I don't know the specifics of that, but you certainly are required to. The difference is if they hire a traffic engineer that tells you it's going to be fine, and you're saying, well, our knowledge and our background and our understanding is telling us it's not going to be fine. I don't think it seems like it might, I don't know if it's a Supreme Court decision. It might be an appellate. So it may not necessarily be binding. There could be more to come on it, but something to watch.
And that certainly is true also from 384, when you're turning onto Notch Road. Certainly people who live in that area near Wall Street, where I live, know exactly when they're able to go down that Wall Street to Notch Road and get onto 384. At certain times of the day, you cannot. The traffic is just too hard.
Yeah, you'll and sit there for a long
time. Yeah, you'll sit, and then you have to like make a mad dash across and get on there. Like I do that all the time, but I know certain times I'm just going to go the other way. So it certainly is true that people who live here have, you know, knowledge of how the traffic really works.
Mike, are traffic engineers licensed?
Yes.
Are they licensed? Just wondering.
So they're becoming the end all be all when it comes to decision making.
Well, I think it kind of started moving in that direction. I think that's partly what happened is they were coming in and saying, we're experts, we say this, and you're required to sort of take that and go with it. So this is a case out of Bridgeport. I didn't read the whole summary to know what type of development it was. Oh, it looks like it was a convenience store.
We're here.
So, it was kind of moving in that direction. And I think, you know, they would go and just get somebody to put it, you know, run the numbers. So, you know, just like any expert, any engine, you know, whatever it is, you can perhaps find different opinions within that same profession. So to just take that statement, it's going to be fine and run with it. I think it's probably appropriate that the commission still have some of that flexibility.
Anybody can be swayed.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes.
The other way, though, if the traffic engineer says to you, no, you can't take the left-hand turn, but you feel you can, so you can increase public safety, but you can't decrease it, I'm assuming.
If they could demonstrate, if you think the answer is yes, or you feel it's important that be considered, and they can design it in accordance with all the necessary, you know, highway design manuals, based upon the speed, they have to have certain sight lines, you know, for pulling in, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, you can certainly ask them to make changes to make the condition better, provided it can be designed accordingly.
Okay, I see a couple of more people. Sorry, I didn't notice you were in the waiting room. Andrew, did you have anything you wanted to talk about?
No, I was actually just wanted to hear about some of the stuff that you had on the agenda regarding the EVs.
Yeah, we're.
Did you hear me okay?
Yes, we talked about that, and there's quite a lot of information in the packet, and we discussed changing the regulations to comply with the law, so to require infrastructure, not the actual charging stations themselves, but the underground conduit, so that when they were needed, it would be easy to install the cables. And the other thing I think we talked about that was important is that you would have to have one of those prepared locations near an accessible parking space. And that's when you've got 30 spaces or more, you have to have 10% of them have these ready-made charging locations.
Okay.
But the details are all in the packet. And then I see 860-810-0905.
Yeah, that was me. I was trying to get in on the computer and or my phone, but I was in the waiting room for about 15 or 20 minutes.
Sorry.
No problem. Good to see you guys again.
Nice to be seen.
And Mike, are you planning to bring back more information about affordable housing in December?
So I have some plans that I got from one of the towns that I think I showed you previously. The one of the things that I think Commissioner Scala was asking about was the specific soil data to get a sense of the types of soils that they were being constructed in versus what we have here. And it is awful hard to hunt that down because most towns are part of a regional health department. So I can bring you plans. We can look at a lot of, I have, you know, a chunk of information, but if we're interested in the specific soil types, that's proven to be a challenge. So you tell me what you think, or you want me to dig a little deeper, because that's a really interesting and important piece, or you want to see kind of what I've got, or?
I think we should see what you got.
Yes, what you got, yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
Because that could change in this town from once area to another area.
There's a lot of clay around here, and then you got a lot of loam towards Andover.
Yeah, we're up in the up by Fianos and all that. That's pretty gravelly up in there. So
ledge,
a lot of ledge there where I live, near the quarry.
Okay, I'll pull some stuff together, and we can look at what I've got in December.
Okay. And it looks like
Chairman. I mean, we adjourn.
Motion Jim Cropley, second Jeremy Flick. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned at 8:09 p.m.
That's got to be almost a record.
That's got to be a record.
Yes.
It's pretty good.
I can
tell you a story about
the TV.
Hi, everyone.
Good night.
Bye. Good night.
Good night. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Michael.
Have a good night, guys.
See ya.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wait, no, listen.